The following is a sermon from Pastor David Salinas of Sure Foundation, a church located in Woodside, Queens, New York, the world's most diverse community. For more information and for more audio content, go to sure-foundation.org.
I am not kidding you, not even a little bit. Whatever you want, whatever your heart desires, ask me. I'm going to give it to you. Unless, of course, there's something better. There is a more wonderful, a better, a greater gift in my treasury, then that is what you get. And so speaks the most generous, magnanimous, magnificent king in the universe. Jesus, whatever. Ask me whatever you want. I don't think I have to tell you that this is an absolutely huge key, because it turns and opens a humongous, magnificent treasure chest filled with riches that we can't even begin to imagine. Here's the thing, though. This is the interesting thing about Jesus, whatever. Are you ready for this? It is a key that only fits in the hands of a child. It takes the heart of a child to treat God like the generous, mighty, merciful king that he really is. You know, a missionary to Zaire actually made this point. He writes this. Let me share this with you. A mother at our mission station died after giving birth. We tried to improvise an incubator to keep the infant alive, but the only hot water bottle we had was beyond repair. So during devotions that morning, we asked the children to pray for the baby and for her little sister, who was now an orphan. One of the girls responded, "Dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late, because by then the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, send a doll for the sister so that she won't feel." You and I are here right now. Take out your hands. Pull out your hands. To have your hands resized, shrunk down to the hands of a child. We are here to grow our faith in a mighty, big, huge way, the faith of a child, so that our prayer life improves, not just a little bit, I mean dramatically, drastically. And we receive more blessings than we can possibly have in mind and in store in our own imaginations, as Jesus takes the key of whatever and gives us exactly that, whatever we want or whatever he deems is better. Are you ready for an incredible experience and journey on the growth of faith and prayer? Mark chapter 1. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Indignant at the man's misery, Jesus' heart churned with compassion. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Booyah! Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places, yet the people still came to him from everywhere. What a prayer! Have you ever heard such a thing? With all due respect to the mighty King Solomon and that incredible prayer that he prayed at the dedication of the temple, this leper's prayer has to be one of the finest on human record. It is the Mona Lisa. It is Beethoven's Hammerklavier, John. A masterpiece of Christian faith. And I want you to see that as you think about the petri dish, the condition under which this prayer was fashioned and formed and uttered and placed at the very feet of the Savior of the universe. Leprosy was a term in both Greek and Hebrew, actually, that covered a whole array of skin illnesses. And it could be used to describe everything from eczema to psoriasis. But the leprosy, I'm talking about the one that we know today as Hansen's disease, was an absolutely horrifying and horrendous illness. It usually began so innocent. A little patch of white flaky skin somewhere on the face, maybe the nose, the ear, the chin. It wouldn't take long before that patch spread like wildfire in every single direction, finally covering the body. And before long, spongy tumors would start to appear on the neck and on the face, and they too would spread all the way throughout. And then the disease would turn inward and would start burrowing its way into the internal organs and seeping its way all the way into the marrow of the bones, impairing the blood supply. And bones would become brittle, and fingers and toes would shrivel. And then the nerve endings, the pain nerves would be deadened, would die. And so people would lose entire limbs because they would cut themselves or wound themselves in some way, and they didn't realize it, and then they would get an infection. And this deteriorating degenerative condition would go on for between 10 to 30 years until the person finally succumbed to a secondary illness, because Hansen's disease, much like the HIV virus that causes AIDS, ended up destroying the immune system. That's what this guy is experiencing, and that's the pleasant part. Because Hansen's disease, leprosy, was considered by the people of Israel a curse from God, and what can you consider it but that? A divine punishment. And so the leper, this by law, the Old Testament law said, the leper had to go around and basically tell everybody, I'm dead to the world, I'm dead to you, I am unclean, don't touch me. And the leper was quarantined, cut off from the land of the living, cut off from work, cut off from friends, cut off from family, cut off even from going to church and worshiping God. And so what could the leper feel but anything but cut off from God himself? And Hansen's disease was always a death sentence, always a death sentence. In fact, the Old Testament law and all of the rabbinic writings, they only prescribed methods for recognizing true leprosy, but never any remedies for it, because there was no remedy for it. There was no cure for leprosy. A man without a prayer. That's the way to take that first line of our lesson. A man with leprosy came to Jesus. But now, are you starting to see why this prayer that he offers is just so staggering and magnificent? Because here is a man who is absolutely desperate for healing. There is nothing else that he wants more in the whole world. And at the same time, he's in a condition that would seem to despair of any possibility of him ever being healed. And yet he doesn't stand afar and shake a fingerless fist into the face of God incarnate and with a raspy, hoarse, diseased voice usher out a bitter complaint. How dare you come around here and preach to me about God's love and mercy? Look at me. Look at what he has taken from me. That is not what the leper does. Nor does the leper come to Jesus and throw off all protocol and grab him by the lapels and demand from him, you just have to heal me right now. You just don't know the misery that I have been in for so long. You don't know how much I miss my family. You have to do this for me. You've healed other people, and I'm no worse than they are. I deserve it just as much. He doesn't do that. Instead, this unclean man approaches the Holy One of Israel in the only way that an unclean person ought. On his knees. Begging for mercy. Knowing he doesn't deserve it, and yet somehow expecting that this one rabbi would not do what so many other rabbis did, take stones and throw them at lepers to keep them at bay. And he utters the prayer, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Amen. And so in 9 English words, this leper manages to give Jesus the full-blown glory of doing something that was impossible. Curing this incurable, frightful disease. You can make me clean. And at the same time, he approached Jesus with the humility of understanding that despite his condition, Jesus still knew best. If you are willing is another way of saying, Lord, I really want to be clean. I really want to be well. But I'm not the one to determine what is best for me. You are. Let your will be done, not mine. I trust that you are my God who has only to give good and perfect gifts, only knows how to do so, and you will do so for me. And so even if the answer to my prayer is no or not yet, I know that somehow and some way this horrible illness is still a better gift for me. Amen. Top that. Top that. Wow. What a prayer. I want to pray like that. I want to pray like that, not when things are going relatively smoothly, but especially when they're not. Don't you? But there's something I need to place on your hearts right now. This desire to pray like this man, it's not just about us learning how to come up with and spin this beautiful, succinct gem and place it on the Lord's lap. It is not about an eloquence or a succinctness to the prayer. It is about having a faith that is as big as a child's strong, mighty faith, to come up to the Lord Jesus, storming his throne room with confidence, relentlessly and yet humbly, asking him for his best blessings, trusting that Jesus knows what is best. This is what it's about, and let me tell you why it's about this. In your lives, as in my life, regardless of our accomplishments, regardless of how much the Lord has blessed us otherwise, regardless of the health that we have and the jobs that we have and the future that we have here, every single one of us, you have in your life a leprosy, so to speak. You have in your life, placed there by God himself, a thorn in your flesh. Some exquisite pain or weakness in your life that gnaws on you, and that really hurts. And I know what it is for some of you, but not all of you, but what is it for you? Is it some physical or some emotional or some mental pain or anguish that just drives you to your knees in the darkness of the night, and that you just want this thing to be rid of, just get rid of it and to be better. What is it for you? Is it a person that is like smoke to your eyes or ammonia to your nose? The very person's presence just irritates you and brings up all kinds of foul thoughts in your head. Is it some temptation or some worry that like a deer tick has burrowed its head into your heart and just won't let go? Whatever it is, it's in this fear that we come to a place of danger, because we want to pray like the leper. Lord, if you are willing, you can take this away. You can pull out this thorn. You can make me better. But it's at the same time inside this place, in this fear, when our sinful hearts betray us, and when the feeling rises up from it and we can't help it, Lord, please, you just have to fix this now. Can't you see that this is killing me, how much I am suffering? If you let this continue, I will not be able to hang on to you. And it's exactly in the sphere of your most exquisite torture. There is your Achilles heel. The very possibility that that could be the source of your undoing and your fall from grace. Can we all please fold our hands right now? I want to say a prayer for us. I want to say a prayer for us. Lord Jesus, forgive our leprous faith and give us such a healthy faith as the leper. A strong childlike faith in you that trusts that you know better than we do what is truly best for us. Lord, give us a faith that rises like a tsunami and washes away the disappointment when you determine that what is best for us is no or not at this time to our heartfelt pleas. My King, give us the certainty to know that you can do everything you promised, the boldness to hold you to your promises, the humility to not demand that you do for us what you have not promised or demand an explanation as to why you haven't done as we've asked. And give us the perseverance to not stop praying. Lord, in your name and in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. Brothers and sisters, my dear people, I have one thing to say to you right now. What a prayee! What a prayee! What a mighty, merciful, generous, magnanimous hearer of prayers we have in our Lord Jesus. Listen, every single one of us has a gajillion reasons to be amazed at and fall in love with our Savior more and more each day, but not the least of which is this. Are you ready? Here it comes. When it comes to our prayers for spiritual blessings, like an increase of faith, like I just prayed, Jesus' answer is not one of three things. It is not no, yes, no, or just hold on. It is always yes, of course, and done. Because you see, that is the very reason that he gave us his word of compassion, where we see his unbridled, unrestrained compassion flow from us. Jesus' mighty, merciful word is the power that generates the faith in our hearts that produces these prayers. Luther said it this way. You know how he said it? He said it like this. He said, prayer inheres, it is embedded in the word. Because this is why the word was spoken and called forth, to call forth faith from us that rises up in prayer. And so I just have to say, what a prayee we have in the Lord Jesus. What a person to pray to. I just prayed for spiritual blessings, and guess what? Compassion is the power for our faith and our prayer. Guess what? The very next thing that we see in our text is what? Our lesson is what? Colossal compassion. Mighty mercy. Staggering sympathy. Just the kind that empowers faith and prayer. Look. Look. The very thing that stirred revulsion in the stomach of the rabbis churned compassion in the heart of the Savior. And the man's physical distress, his emotional and spiritual isolation, the reality that this man could be spending eternity apart from God, that need reached out and touched the Lord Jesus to the depths of his infinite heart. And he looked at this pitiful creature that in his culture was an untouchable. And Jesus, in mighty mercy, couldn't help himself. He reached out and he linked himself directly, not just to the miracle, but to the man himself. And he said those beautiful words, "I am willing. Be clean." Booyah! Bye-bye, leprosy. And so the man received in mercy the answer to his prayers, only better. It was a yes with a healing caress. And this is how Jesus' compassionate heart churns for you. He sees you in your need. He knows that distress. He knows that leprosy that is in your life that is plaguing you. And he reaches out for you in his compassionate word and says, "I am with you. You are linked to me, super glued. I will never let you go. I will see you through this, and I will help you. I am willing." That's staggering mercy, yes? That is mercy that's not just through the roof, it's beyond the stars. It's not just mercy that is this wide and long and high and deep. It is immeasurably wide and long and high and deep. And you know what? It only goes up from there. It only grows more from there. Because then Jesus displays yet even more mercy. He has just cleansed this man. And he has just literally, by this healing touch, pulled him out from death, pretty literally, almost literally, and placed him into the land of the living. And he has cleansed him. And this man is no longer unclean and untouchable. He can go back to his family. He can be with his friends. He can have his job. He can be in church. And then Jesus says to him, he says basically this: "You called upon me in the day of trouble, just like I wanted you to, just like I loved for you to do. And I answered you just as I desired to do. Now, this is the one way that I want you to honor me. Please don't go spreading this around. I want you to go directly to the priest. I want to show these pastors of Israel that are fleeing away from me, I want to show them the very mercy that I showed you. I want to show them this great compassion so that they can spread it to the people. Because your clean flesh will be a mighty testimony that a true miracle, a miracle of miracles, has taken place. Something that was practically unheard of in Israel, the curing of leprosy. And by that, they will know that I am he. I am the consolation and the redemption of Israel. So mum's the word. Just go directly to the priest." But what does the man do? He does exactly the opposite of what Jesus commanded him strongly not to do. He does the opposite. Instead, he goes around and he tells everybody and their grandmother what Jesus has done. He did it with the best of intentions, no doubt. He did it with a heart that was excited, no doubt. But he disobeyed a direct order from the Lord. And what was the result? The priest did not get the testimony that Jesus wanted to give them. And instead of helping Jesus in his already difficult ministry and mission, he hampered him, because what does it say? That the mobs created by all of this hullabaloo prevented Jesus from going into the villages to show the mercy that he wanted to show them. Now, here's where this mercy of Christ comes out. As God, Jesus knew ahead of time that this is how the man would respond to his prayer. And still, his heart churned with compassion for him, and he healed him anyway. And this is the compassion for us. Jesus has looked on the other side of his answer to our prayers, and he has already seen the ways in which we will be thankless and disobedient in response to his prayers. But there is just nothing we can do to make him love us any less. There is nothing that we can do, no bad thing that we can do to make God love us any less. And seeing that response, he still loves us anyway. He still answers our prayers anyway. And he will always do so because this is the very reason that he came to earth to take our uncleanness, our death, and our depravity and wash it away with his death in the first place. What a praise. This compassion that stirs faith has ample examples in life. Jesus wants to confirm the words I've just spoken to you. And he does it in many ways, but not the least of which is answering prayer in a magnificent way. I didn't tell you, did I, the ending of that story of that little girl's prayer at the beginning of the sermon. Here it is. That afternoon, a large parcel arrived from England. Eagerly, the children watched as we opened it. Much to their surprise, under some clothing was a hot water bottle. Immediately, the girl who had prayed so earnestly exclaimed, "If God sent that, I'm sure he also sent a doll." She was right. The Heavenly Father knew in advance of the child's requests, and 5 months before, he had led a ladies' group to include both of those specific articles. What a prayee. What a beautiful prayee we have. Let your heart be filled with his compassion, filled with his compassion. And now take those hands that have been resized into the hands of a child, hands that are fit for that key. Take it in your hand. Whatever you want, ask for it, and I will give it to you. If not something better. And let our prayers rise before the throne of heaven as sweet-smelling, room-filling incense.